What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 30 of Value Town. I'm your host, Chanman V, and today with me, as always, is Trump. What's going on, Trump? Trump's so awesome. And then our guest today is a first-timer on Value Town. He's the winner of the DreamHack Bucharest Hearthstone Hearthstone tournament. It was an open tournament. It's Gara from Team Tempo Storm. What's up, Gara?
Hello.
All right, welcome to the show, man. Glad to have you on. But okay, so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to be talking about a little bit of the current meta, and then we'll follow it up with some discussion on the new Rogue card that they announced yesterday. I think they announced, was it yesterday or the day before? It might have been the day before. The new Anubar Ambusher. And then we'll talk about some Shaman decks. That's right? Did I pronounce that wrong? Shoot. Jeff's the WoW expert. Trump's the WoW expert here. But we'll be talking about Shaman decks, particularly a couple that Gar's been running recently, and do some of that cool stuff we do here on Value Town. And then we'll do some Q&A like we always do. And all the questions will be taken from the Reddit thread here. So post your questions here, and we'll try to get to as many as possible. Upvote the ones, too. If there's some other folks that ask some good questions, if you like, upvote those, because we'll sort them by top. But okay, let's get into some talking. Gara, so since winning DreamHack Bucharest, how have things been different for you? I mean, you've been seeing just a lot more people, I guess, like a lot more viewers on your stream, a lot more people asking you for for advice or anything like that on how to play?
Yeah, it's like completely different. Like, before I went to Bucharest, I just streamed casually, just had fun climbing ladder, and now I'm running from interview to interview. People ask me all kinds of stuff, ask me about my deck list, ask me like about tips about upcoming tournaments and stuff like that. It's crazy.
That's what happens, man. When you win a tournament, all of a sudden everybody wants to hear from you. So that's really cool, man, and really happy for you. And hopefully some more success comes in the future. But Trump, what you been up to? Like, how's laddering been and all that good stuff?
I've been playing around with a lot of different decks. Currently, I find Constructed really interesting because the metagame is quite diverse at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Are you making a push for top 16 this season?
Yep.
Okay. All right. That's going to be good stuff. So how often are you playing Arena these days?
One a day, roughly.
Okay. Not bad. All right. Well, start things off by getting into the new Rogue card. So a new Nox card was announced, and let's take a look at it. Right here. How do you pronounce that? Trump, how do you pronounce that card? I must be killing the pronunciation of it.
Yeah. Load on your screen. Let's see.
Is it a Anubar or is it a Nubar? Man, that's just terrible.
It's Anubar.
It's Anubar, okay. So Anubar Ambusher. It's a 4-mana 5/5 base, which... I mean, we thought Yeti was good as a vanilla 4/5. This is better than Yeti, but it has a death rattle that's returning a minion, you know, a friendly minion on the board to your hand. So I want to get your initial thoughts on this card, and why don't we start off with Constructed talk. Gara, what do you think of this card?
The first time I saw the card, I just saw the picture, right? I didn't know it was a rogue card, so I thought, oh my god, this is the new Warrior 4-drop. Like, because that is like the questionable mana amount, but then I saw it's like a rogue specific card, and then I was kind of it's kind of meh. It's like
it's kind of meh. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of meh. Yeah. Because as a rogue, you don't really want.
Uh-oh, I think we lost. Hold on a second. Uh-oh, I think we lost them. Going to have to see what happened there. Give us 1 second. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Sorry about that. Skype had a little bit of an issue there, but let's continue our talk about this rogue deck. So I guess you were saying that you just thought this card was kind of meh, just not really.
Yeah, exactly. The card is kind of meh. The two types of rogues that are playing right now are Miracle Rogue and Tempo Rogue. Mm-hmm. And as a Miracle Rogue, you want card draw to draw your combo, or spell power, like, or even both, like Talnos or Azure Drakes, Auctioneer. And this card looks to me like some sort of a strong Yeti, mm-hmm. but you can't really use it. Like in a Tempo Rogue, you don't play Yeti in a Miracle Rogue, so you would play it in a Tempo Rogue as a replacement for Yeti. But it would be a follow-up to Loot Hoarders, for example, but you don't want to send them back to your hand. You can play around it. So I don't see this card being played effectively. Like, as I said, or as well, like, in a combo with SI7 Agent, maybe. Like, because it's good to send SI7 Agent back to your hand if people kill or trade that card. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hard, even with SI7, because it has to already be on the board, so it has to be, like, two turns where you have to play the Ambusher, and you have to attack with the Ambusher, too, right? So it's kind of a... It'd be pretty hard to even set that scenario up. Trump, what do you think about this card, constructed-wise?
Gosh, I'm, like, the complete opposite on this one. I think this might be one of the best cards out there, and I think it's an auto 2 of in every Rogue deck from now on. Not an auto 2 deck. Like, there are some decks, like Gara's mentioned, where the Death Rattle is going to be too harmful. But the stats alone are insane. And, yeah, it is a drawback. It's got a pretty significant drawback.
It's like,
it's kind of not a drawback if you have an SI7 agent out in the field or if you have other combo cards. And it's just such an individually strong drop if you are running a deck that's light on minions.
Yeah, I mean, it's a common card, too. So you point out a really good thing that you can actually run two of these in your deck, which would be, pretty amazing. And yeah, right now, the Rogue doesn't have a great four drop. Does it, right? A four drop, the four turn is usually trying to figure out a good way to either combo or maybe even remove something on the board from your opponent. How do you think it is in Arena, Trump? Because there's been some talk about whether it's good or not. Arena is usually more minion-based and just more board control type of play. So what do you think of this card?
Yeah, in Arena it should be really awesome. Mm-hmm. In Arena, typically efficient minions with drawbacks tend to be really good.
Okay.
This one's no exception.
All right, so a little bit split decision. Go ahead, Gara. You have something?
I completely agree. In Arena, that card is absolutely insane, if you get it.
Yeah. Could you ever see this card in any kind of the Miracle designs for Rogue right now?
It could be. Probably. Like, it's tough to say because it doesn't really fit. It's like a high-value stat creature, and you don't use that in current Miracle decks. But maybe this card will be so strong just because of the stats that you will play it in Miracle Rogues decks. So, might be. It's hard to say now. It's really hard to say.
Okay.
As a big Miracle noob, mm-hmm. I think that this card's actually good since it runs very few minions and drawback won't be as relevant. It doesn't quite fit the goals as much, but it's just efficient.
Yeah. I mean, there has been some the most recent Miracle, even though cards like Azure Drake, they draw cards and that sort of thing. There has been a little bit more of a movement towards getting some type of minions on the board just to do a little bit of damage, leading up to kind of end game for Miracle. So I could maybe fill one of the roles of that. 5/5. I mean, 5/5/4 is going to be really difficult to deal with any deck. I mean, so it's going to be really good. Can you think of any really cool combo Death Rattle type of situations that would be ideal in a rogue type of style of play? Either of you guys.
It's probably good for Acolyte. If you can, draw a card, you ship your own Acolyte or whatever, and then you really don't want to give your opponent Rogue the Acolyte back with full value in his hand. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So an Acolyte, Trump? You're mentioning the obvious one.
Rogue class is known for having those combo cards. You put some of those out there, play the Enmubar Ambusher, and then they get to come back in your hand. So basically anything with Battlecry, which combo pretty much covers.
Okay. That's, I think that's... Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, people were talking about Leeroy, too, just it kind of being a, you know, a little bit different version of Shadow Step, you know, that type of thing. I mean, Shadow Step's obviously, I think, a much better scenario, given that it's zero mana and it gives you a 2 discount. But can you see that type of play being a big part of Rogue in the future?
Not at all, since the Leeroy does 6 damage and the new Varar Ambusher does 5 damage anyway, so you're gaining, like, 1 damage.
Okay, yeah. I mean, Leeroy doesn't even survive a turn, usually, so it'd be pretty hard for that to happen. Let's see. Go ahead.
That's pretty optimistic for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but anyways, you know, another cool class card that we're seeing from the Nox release, or the upcoming release. I think we still have a few more classes to cover, which I think they're releasing one every week, right? That's pretty much the frequency they've been releasing these things. So we should be seeing some, I don't know, mage cards. Wait, who are we missing? So mage, shaman, priest. Have we seen the priest card yet?
No.
No, we haven't seen the priest card yet. So mage, shaman, priest, and...
Warlock.
Warlock. Okay, warlock. So that's 4 of them, and there's 4 weeks. Is there still 4 weeks? I guess maybe there's 4 weeks until the release. So good stuff. They also released the prices for... I don't have to actually have it in front of me, but they have...
Oh, wait, did they?
The prices for Nox, right?
I don't think they did.
Oh, I thought there was a list of just an amount of gold that would be for... Was that just speculative, or...?
Well, a couple people whispered me that I will need, like, 4K to 5K gold to unlock everything.
Yeah, I thought there was a Reddit thread that...
Yeah, there was a Reddit thread of speculative information, okay, speculative, which looks really fishy, and I don't think it should be taken with any validity at all.
Okay, all right. Just speculations then, guys, just speculations. Okay, well, why don't we talk a little bit about the current meta? What do you guys think about the what's going on currently, I guess, on the ladder? What are you guys seeing as the popular decks this season? Gaara?
Right now... I see mostly Handlocks, like, on rank 1, I see, like, the most populated deck right now is Handlock, I think. And then it's, in second place, it's Miracle Rogue and Druids. But besides that, it's a huge variety of decks. Well, yeah. You literally see everything.
Yeah, starting to see some Shaman again, and, I mean, I think the biggest thing is that we're not seeing as many Hunters anymore. Since the nerf. Trump, how about you? What are you seeing these days?
Oh, man, it's crazy because it feels like every single day, if you would ask me the question, I would give you a different answer. You asked me a week ago, I'd give you like Hunter and Miracle Rogue. You asked me like 4 days ago, I'd give you the Handlock. A week ago, I'd give you like Druid and Warrior even.
Yeah.
And then 4 days ago, you'd be like, oh, it's still a lot of Miracle Rogue. And then 2 days ago, it's like, oh, it's the rise of the Warlock, the Handlock. And then yesterday, you're starting to see a lot of Risenlock. I met against a lot of super aggro decks, even Divine Favor Paladins. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an obvious answer to the Handlock to have like Divine Favor Paladin, and also it's good against Miracle Rogue. But one man's vision of what happened to him is not that great a picture of the metagame, but suffice to say, I think it's really diverse, but you'd be wise to look out for Handlock at the moment.
Yeah, Handlock seems to be the thing I'm seeing the most, too, on the ladder, but I agree with you guys. We're seeing like a lot of different decks, which is pretty exciting. I mean, this is kind of what we want the metagame to be more like, I think, as a Hearthstone player. Seeing some Shaman, too. But definitely the Zoo. I've seen a lot less Zoo and a lot less Hunter in the last week and a half, which is completely different. But definitely good stuff. So Handlock, have you guys seen any type of interesting version of the Handlock that's been successful, or has it just been the standard Handlock we've seen for seasons now? Gara?
Well, it's not for seasons now. I think the Leroy Handlock mm-hmm. is popular for a month or so now. I don't think it's longer. Like, since they started to play the power-warming faceless Leroy as a finisher. Yeah. I think it's not that long. Like, the previous standard Handlock was just with the Giants in the place. But something special? Yeah, no, Jaraxxus. Yeah, that's, I think, worth mentioning.
Oh, well, yeah.
Jaraxxus was played in every single Handlock deck, and Alexstrasza as well. But now, like, almost every single Handlock deck cuts those cards out.
What does it cut in place of?
You mean instead?
Yeah, instead of. Like, what is it? What do they put in place of it?
Double faceless, of course, the Leroy. Maybe Sylvanas, stuff like that. It's just two cards. It's not too much you can put in.
Yeah. Sylvanas works particularly great in the mirror matchup, too. Trump, have you seen any kind of variation of the Handlock that's been kind of neat or that stood out to you?
I would say that I have seen a lot of Handlock hate, and I've seen Handlock start and hating on each other as well. So those two cards variation that Gar has mentioned, well, first of all, Jaraxxus being gone is sort of a big deal. I think it's because the slower warrior control, druid control has gone a bit. Secondly, since Handlock is so in season at the moment, a lot of Handlocks have tried to adjust their win rate against Handlock up by adding in cards like Black Knight and Big Game Hunter. Mm-hmm. And you see that across the board in other decks too. Big Game Hunter, Black Knight, Stock, Ryzen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I play two Black Big Game Hunters in my Handlock deck.
It feels like cheating when you're doing the Handlock versus Handlock and you have like a deck with two Big Game Hunters.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. It's like more answers than there actually are minions, which is crazy. Any predictions on what do you think another deck's going to be on the rise in the next week or so? I mean, Trump, you talked about three different types of variations in the last week. So, but is there any kind of, I don't know, mage deck or something that you've been kind of seeing that might have some impact in the near future or just some popularity?
Right, so by the time that I say this and I start playing Hearthstone today, my prediction might already be late. But what happened yesterday was people started to hate on Handlocks, like, as in general, as a public. And it's amazing how these movements seem to just go on without any major announcement or whatever, but it's like people are just figuring this out at the same time. I don't know, maybe I'm being paranoid also, but there's some truth to this. So the rise of the super aggro paladin with the divine favor, the shaman with the earth shock, you started seeing a few of those to counter the...
we'll be talking about Shaman, too. Which is cool.
Yeah, to counter the Handlock. So what counters both Shaman and Divine Favory type stuff and just is, in general, solid? And the interesting thing is Paladin and Shaman both have that hero ability, which puts out a guy.
Yeah.
And traditionally, those two classes were kept... down in the dumps because of Unleash the Hounds. So my prediction is retro Hunter rise yet again, and we're going to like go on the fifth wheel of the fifth section of the wheel here.
Oh my gosh, the cycle continues, right? It's still going to be decent, right? Even at 3 mana, Unleash the Hounds is still going to be good against those type of boards. I think sucks against Tant. It sucks against a lot of the decks we just talked about that are popular right now, but that's a good prediction, man. I'll be interesting to see that. Oh, we get to see Hunters again in another week or two. Gara, what do you think of that? You think Hunters are going to be back?
I would completely disagree with that.
Okay.
I think what is kind of unexpected is that we will see a lot of Priests. I've seen also a lot of people starting to stream Priest and different versions as well. That's also really interesting. I've seen people playing on high legendary ranking with the Wellen Mind Blast
mm-hmm.
Priest. And I was shocked that it works. Like, first I was like, yeah, that's some troll deck, but they were really like climbing ladder to top 16 with that deck.
Number 2, to be exact. Somebody climbed all the way to number 2 with it.
So. Yeah, that's crazy. And I'm playing a lot of priests myself because it's good against Handlock. You have the Shadow of Deaths. You have the Mind Control for late game. People don't play Jaraxxus. Jaraxxus was the mm-hmm. big card against priests. Like, Handlock is fairly easy to beat as a priest. And no hunters. Priestess as well, really good against Shaman. And less and less people play Rogue because so many people play Handlock. And Handlock is really good against Rogue. So I think more and more people will play Priest. That's my prediction. And as well Paladin. Paladin, yeah, I agree on that. Like Paladin and
this,
Priest.
This metagame is so cool. I mean, these are the two of the classes that nobody was playing like not too long ago.
Oh man, what a time to be alive. Yeah, the metagame right now is very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. But okay, maybe I have to try some Priest, man. Paladin's always been fun. Haven't really done so much aggro paladin this season, but I know you have, Trump. You started off, I think, the season playing some aggro paladin. Was it the Divine Shield flavor, or was it more of a face paladin?
The paladin that I made was actually, like, 5 days ago, when Miracle Rogue was all you saw, and I was like, I'm just gonna run Divine Favor. So, you toss in a lot of small guys, and you toss in Divine Favor, mm-hmm. and you hopefully get Miracle Rogue matchups, and Handlock matchups, apparently. I wouldn't say that I played it too often, though.
Okay. Cool. All right, why don't we move on, talk about some decks here, and today we're going to be doing the Shaman deck. And a couple Shaman decks here, both of which Gar has played, and we've got a pretty interesting Bloodlust deck, which I think will be pretty fun to talk about here. And then we have more of the standard type of Shaman that we've seen in the past with a lot of your usual suspects there. So, first off, let's just eat the dessert first. Let's talk about the Bloodlust Shaman, and talk to me about how much success you've had with this, Gara. Have you made legend with this deck, or is this just something that you pull out just every once in a while for fun?
I just hit legendary with my Bloodlust Shaman deck, nice. And I'm also using Bloodlust Shaman in tournaments, so it's not a troll deck, because many people, when they see me playing Bloodlust Shaman stream, they think I'm just trolling. And there's...
So I'm going to point out some cards here, and then actually I'll pick one in, Trump. I guess you can mention something, you know, point out one too. First one that sticks out, which almost nobody ever plays, Hogger. So talk to us about that card, because Hogger, I think a lot of times has been compared to the Silver Knight, at least in Arena, and it's, you know, just it's one less mana Silver Knight is. And, you know, the viability of it is usually similar, given that Hogger gets removed so quickly. So talk to me about that card. Why is that card so good in this deck?
It's a token Bloodlust deck, so, and Hogger spawns tokens, so because of that it's good. And I think it's also not bad against Rogue, and since so many people are playing Rogue, yeah, it's a good counter to that. And it's like one of those extra cards. You have like one free slot in your deck, and you're really thinking, what's good for late game? You don't want a second Auctioneer. Like, two Auctioneers is really too much in a Bloodlust deck. And you don't want a second Ink Master and stuff like that. Then you're thinking a lot, and then you go at the cards, and then you see Hogger, and then you're like, I could put Hogger in my deck. And then I tested, and it looks pretty good.
Nice. Trump, any card you want to point out? Or you want to ask about?
Okay, I'll point out the obvious one.
Okay.
But I'm not surprised at it. What's up with the Totemic Might?
Oh!
I'll save that one for Trump.
A high-value card. No, the thing is, when you manage to buff any kinds of totems, if you manage to play like 2 or 3 totems, it doesn't matter which totems, and you play Totemic Might, it's insanely hard to remove. Like, it doesn't really matter which totems are on the board. Like, if you have a 4 toughness taunt totem or spell power totem, it's incredibly hard to remove. And this is like the ultimate goal of a Bloodlust Shaman deck, that you have stuff on the board when you finally draw your Bloodlust, and yeah, to finish your opponent off. And you get indirectly while you're out of it if you buff, for example, a Mana Tide totem, mm-hmm. and it stays alive for more than 2 turns or more than 1 turn.
What's a common scenario you see yourself using it? Like what turn do you usually see yourself like on turn 3 playing a Manatide and a Totemic Might, or is it something that you do later with Gadgetzan?
What I try is to combo it with Violet Teacher.
Oh, okay.
Like, if I have a totem, this is like the old, the optimal scenario. Like, I'm in turn 4, or I have a coin in turn 3, and I have a totem out, so I can play my Violet Teacher and use the Totemic Might, get an additional coin out. And the thing with the 1-1s on the board, you can always combo them with Rockbiter weapons and Flametongue Totems, so they're not just like the Paladin ones. They're like really useful in a Shaman deck.
Mm-hmm.
And or with Auctioneer, obviously, you can cycle them for other cards.
Okay, that's pretty... Totemic Might, I mean... Trump, was Totemic Might the bottom of your list? The value list at some point? Or was it really close at some point? What was the worst card on your value list for Arena?
It's probably Totemic Might, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So this is pretty interesting... Pretty revolutionary, and I mean, or just something that we've never seen before. Let's see. How does Imp Master work for you too? Because I've played a deck that's pretty similar to this, and I actually took out Imp Master just because I felt like it didn't really do a good job of sticking, or my opponent would throw down big units, and I wouldn't be able to do anything about it. So it just didn't have much of an impact that I thought it would, because I was running two for a while. So Gar, how much impact has Imp Master been?
Well, of course, it has the obvious synergy with Heelswing Totem, if you have that on the board.
Yeah.
Like, and it is something, it's as a free drop, a 4-1 and a 1-1 as a free drop, there's almost nothing that can remove that. Well, a swipe can kill that, mm-hmm. but besides that, like that something will stay on the board, the chance is insanely high. It's the same with Harvest Golem, but it has a slightly better synergy with Bloodlust than a Harvest Golem, so I played the Imp Master instead. Mm. And, of course, the synergy with the Heelstream Totem. And it's not so vulnerable to silence as well as the Harvest Golem is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Trump, another card you want to ask about? Or
it's one of those decks, I think, that you have to play and see it in action to be like, wow, this is amazing. Because it's one of those decks that probably... I mean, it looks rather insane, but I'm sure in practice that it works very well.
How often do you win without Bloodlust? Because you only have one in the deck. And I understand why you don't run two, because that card's totally dead. If you don't have minions on the board, obviously. So well, I'm curious how often you win.
Some games you have... Like, you have a full board of totems, and they have all, like, zero attack, and then you're like, yeah, I have this full board, and I deal, like, 2 damage phase per turn.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But you have this synergy with Violet Teacher. Like, Violet Teacher is still it's like a Sengin, and you spawn tokens, and Auctioneers and Ashudrix, they are still, like, 4/4s. Like, it's not like you don't do any damage to your opponent. But without Bloodlust, yeah, it's way easier to win with a Bloodlust, obviously.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see those games going pretty much down to the end, actually. You know, when you have board control and you're just sitting there, just
if
waiting.
If it'd be unwinnable without Bloodlust, I would play 2 Bloodlust in my deck.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. Makes sense. Okay, so really cool deck, man. I'm pretty excited to... I was running it early in the season, and I won, like, I don't know, 12, 13 straight games, and then I kind of switched over to more of the Warrior and, you know, Druid, Handlock type of thing. But wanted to get back to this, and figured it would be a good time to get back to it soon. So I'm excited to try it out. So let's go to the Custom Shaman here, which is the Right Shaman, which is one that we've seen more in the past, more of a tempo, you know, tempo-ish type of shaman, or just the more standard shaman. Anything to really point out about this? Any particular things about this deck that are, you know, really, really strong?
Mina?
Yeah.
Yeah, one really important thing is, as you mentioned earlier, like, without the Bloodlust, you don't really have a lot of damage on the board. Even if you have, like, a full board with totems or Imp Master tokens and stuff, they all do, like, very few damage. And Doomhammer, you can see Doomhammer as some kind of a finisher. if you get the combo with Rockbiter, it's just an insane amount of damage. Like, just the Rockbiter with the Doomheimer is already 10 damage phase.
Yeah.
And it has, like, those cards like Fire Elemental. It's, like, I think it's more consistent in ladder. I think, like, I would prefer my deck in a tournament where you just have to win one or two games. And in ladder, for a consistent high win ratio, I would prefer the second one. And I saw this deck from Celerity. He's like one mod in my stream, and he played this in King of the Hill. And I tested it today, and it works really well. And I hit Legendary with it, so I guess it's really good.
Trump, thoughts on this Shaman deck?
It's good. It runs two Harvest Golem, which is slightly unusual because that's a lot of threes.
Yeah.
No, it only runs one Unbound also, which is slightly unusual.
Yeah, what do you think about the single Unbound? I mean, why the single Unbound, Gara?
Well, like, I discussed this with Colento a lot, and you could also play Shaman without Unbounds. Well, Unbound is such a tricky card. Like, when it gets silenced, or when it gets zapped, it loses all the value you build up with the card. But it's sometimes it's so good to have an Unbound, and then it's like the mixed thing. Like, either you play none or you play two, then you make a mix of it and you just play one. Well, it's good, but it's not that insane.
Okay. All right, good stuff. Let's see, any other card to really point out? I mean, this is pretty similar to a lot of. I mean, there might be like a variation of one or two cards here, but you know, this is the tried and true Shaman that we've seen. It's always been pretty solid. Lots of people have gotten to Legend. I think every season, you know, with this type of archetype for the Shaman. And so, yeah, I don't have any more questions. Trump, anything, any last comments, I guess, about this deck? No? All right. So why don't we move on, guys? And actually, let's take a quick break so we can get these questions together, just make sure everybody gets in their questions. Again, here's the Reddit thread to get your questions in, and we'll do Q&A with you guys in just 1 second. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to do some Q&A with you guys. And we're going to take some of the top questions here. So we're going to start off with Not at Keyboard. He asks, how much do you think arena experience and skill transfers to constructed gameplay, seeing as Trump, Hafu, and Ekop all hover around High Legend at the moment? Trump, I'll let you take it, obviously, since this is, I think, more geared towards you.
Okay. I think the skills transfer either way, but it's definitely not complete. When you play Constructed, you need to really focus on one, like, the deck that you're playing and its strengths and weaknesses, and you need to have an experience of what is going on, basically. And that's really difficult if you don't play it. You need to just play and figure out what's going on right now. What do the masses play? Mm-hmm. Is your deck strong against that? How can you make your deck stronger against that? Do you need to jump ship to another deck? So the arena skills that do transfer are generally, in arena, you're always going to have essentially a mid-game deck, and you're going to be against a mid-game deck, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of different scenarios come up, and you get more adept at spotting like the hidden play because you've just had so many experiences with unorthodox boards. So that translates, and just generally good concepts such as card advantage and making sure you make the good trades. That's what transfers over. So basics, but it doesn't transfer over completely. It's a completely different world. And vice versa.
Yeah. Gar, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think what I could add is that the transition might last longer from arena to constructed, because also, like, they're like cards have completely different value in Arena and in Constructor. Like, some cards are completely trash in Arena, but insanely good in Constructed. And, like, to kind of change the mindset that you play Constructed to deal 30 damage to your opponent, like, to win the game, it's like a different play style. It's not just high-value trades and card advantage. But, of course, the experience and everything what Trump said, of course, that's right. Yeah.
I can at least talk a little bit about my experience, just never playing a TCG before. And I kind of just jumped into Constructed just because I don't know, I just love the whole deck-building aspect of it. But I do have a little bit of regret that I should have started out with Arena, because I feel like Arena really trains the base, like you were saying, Trump, the basics and the mechanics of playing a card game more so than the Constructed, because having a mid-range deck, I mean, really puts you in those kind of board control scenarios, tempo, you know, just tempo advantage, all those kind of things. And I think Arena trains that a lot better. So going from Arena to Constructed, kind of having that fundamental base, I think can be better overall, because I feel like that's the part, probably the part of my game that's the weakest right now, is just some of those type of scenarios. So it's always good, but we are seeing we're seeing a majority, I think, of the Arena players transitioning over to Constructed pretty well lately. So that's kind of cool. All right, next question. OSET358, he asks, do you think Leroy Jenkins is a well-balanced card? Consider that his Battle Cry, which is supposedly his balance factor, is pretty much always irrelevant. Gara, you want to answer this one? So do you think that Leroy Jenkins is a well-balanced card, considering his Battle Cry is supposed to be the thing that balances him, but for the most part, the whelps are irrelevant?
If I would be working for Blizzard, that would be like the first card I would nerf. Like, I really hate Leroy Jenkins.
Okay.
Like I think it would also balance Hunters way better than nerfing Unleash the Hounds, because my prediction is, like, when you nerf, like, before Unleash the Hounds was buffed, Hunter was dead class in Constructed, and then they overbuffed one card, and then Hunter became like the absolute dominating class with the aggro version first, and then the mid-range Hunter. And now, after the nerf to Unleash the Hounds, it just goes back to the point before the buffed Unleash the Hounds. And I think it's all those decks are with the combo around Leroy are too strong, in my opinion. Like the Miracle Rogue with the 30 damage in one turn, mm-hmm. or the Endless Card Draw with, like, Endless Card Draw and Leroy Jenkins are like the big points, nerfing points, in my opinion. And yeah, my top three cards were Tinkmaster, Pagel, and Leroy to nerf. They did it with Pagel and Tinkmaster, and I'm still waiting for the Leroy nerf. So yeah, in my opinion, Leroy is too strong.
All right, strong statement there. Trump, what do you think?
I think Leroy is the most played legend right now. It's in two very popular decks, the Miracle Rogue and the Handlock, and some aggro decks use it to finish. It's really strong across the board. And yet it doesn't look that strong when you consider it in just an aggro deck, because, I mean, when you look at just the aggro deck, when you combine it with Shadow Step, it gets pretty insane. And Unleash the Hands. But, man, I think it's a powerful card. I don't know whether or not it should be nerfed. I rarely play the card myself.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, the original question was just really, I guess.
Wait, what am I saying? I rarely play the card myself. I'm constantly playing the card now. I used to never play the card, but now I play Handlock. I never think it's that good in Handlock. It's just 4 mana, deal 6 damage. But I understand that when you combo it with others, it gets more insane. I think it's fair in aggro, and I think it's fair when you just use it as a finisher. But when you use it as a 24 damage finisher, it's a bit crazy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, in Handlock, it's a 20 damage finisher too, right? So it gives it extreme range, especially in the mirror matchup. It's like dropping under 20; you're always scared in that matchup. But yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, definitely, I think the balance team doesn't just look at it in a vacuum. Just what happens when you play Leroy Jenkins, and you know it's balanced because the two whelps are supposed to remove Leroy. I don't think they look at it that way. They probably try to take everything into account, but no doubt it's really, really powerful right now. Pretty interesting that you think that it should be the next in line to be nerfed, though, Gara. So, but I can't completely disagree with that, too, because the power is pretty prevalent right now.
On top of that, I couldn't say like how to nerf that card. If you like nerf anything about it, it would be too weak. Like
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree.
That's the thing. Like
5 damage be too little.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, okay. Like giving your opponent 2 whelps, maybe like. But if you remove the whelps, it's not a Leroy Jenkins anymore. If you know the lore.
Yeah.
So, I really don't know how to nerf the card.
Okay. Let's move on to the next question. Smog the Stupendous asks, I think the question on all of our minds would be if Trump is interested in doing a duet with Amaz.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Yes. Yes, it's going to happen. Okay. Do you know what song you're going to sing?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about it.
Oh, my God. This is going to be awesome. All right. On a serious note, however, which deck would each of you guys consider to be the most solid and stable deck to take to Legend? I guess if he were to start today. Trump, you want to take this one?
Oh, boy.
We just talked about how awesome the metagame is, and now he's asking us basically what deck is the best, in a way, I guess.
This is going to be a cop-out answer, but play something that fits your style and generally has strong cards in it, and that will be a solid and stable deck.
Okay. I mean, match your style. I mean, like I said, the metagame is pretty good right now, so you can choose a variety of decks and get to Legend, right? Gar, do you think there's a particular deck that's easier to ladder to Legend than the others?
Well, I think Druid was, like, always a really consistent class. Like, I think Watcher Druid is really consistent. Like, to get Legendary, you need just about 50% win ratio. And to really, just to achieve that, like, I would really recommend to play Druid and Handlock right now.
Okay.
It's, like, really solid in the current meta game.
But the Watcher Druid, not the Ramp Druid?
Yeah, not the Ramp Druid, the okay. Watcher.
Okay, Malstank, he asked, to guard...
Well, I'm going to actually cover why I didn't say a specific deck. Like, I considered saying Druid, but... One of the things that I found about the Watcher Druid is that it's too slow against something like Miracle Rogue, and the Miracle Rogue would just get too much time, and they'd just run you over. And for running Handlock, the reason why I wouldn't say it's a solid, stable deck is because you've got all the big game hunters and the Black Knight hate coming in right now. So it's really hard to give an answer to that, and I just think, in general, play something that fits your playstyle, and... I think that if you want a solid and stable deck, go with something traditionally solid and stable. I guess Druid would be the most appropriate answer, yes?
But, yeah, I agree with that. Like if you try hard enough and you really adjust your deck to the metagame, people hit Legendary with all kinds of deck. Like, they're priests hitting Legendary, Paladins, like, everything. It's really completely true.
Okay, next question.
Going with a solid and stable deck is the wrong way to go to Legend, because if you face a field of decks which is anti-solid and stable deck, which would be something crazy like a 28 damage burst or etc., then you're not going to get to Legend, because your solid and stable deck is not solid and stable in the circumstances. That's all.
Okay. Can I go to the next question now? This time? All right, Mouse Stank. Next question for you guys, Gar and Trump. If a deck were going to emerge as the top dog of Constructed right now, this is the same thing, right? We just talked about this, so we're going to skip that one. So Goggle Candy ask, we've answered this in the past, basically the arena about drafts, whether drafts and picks or play actually matters most. Let's see. Okay, let's see. DRT0 asks, has the Unleash the Hounds nerf affected Hunter's matchups? Are there any new decks that take the changes into account? And is Unleash the Hounds still a must-have card? Definitely seen some different Hunters, at least I have. Or at least people trying different things. But, I don't know, would you say Unleash the Hounds is still a must-have card? at its given state, Gaara?
Well, I would say no, but if you play a Hunter without Unleash the Hounds, like, all beast cards are really low value cards. Like, when you think about the pig, it's a 1/1 charge, or the Timberwolf is a 1/1. Like, all Hunter cards, or if you don't play secrets because secrets are bad, then your Longhorn Boar is a worse version of Fury War Axe. So in general, the Hunter class is just terrible. Like, if you don't base your entire deck around like a combo with drawing a lot of cards and just overwhelming your opponent. But I actually played a counter rogue deck, a counter hunter, like a hunter counter miracle deck, and with snipes and freezing traps.
Yeah.
I mean, I really have a high win ratio against rogue specifically, but it's good for tournaments. You can play like a tournament deck without Unleash the Hounds. But for constructed, I think no. Like, it's just bad. Like, if you play a hunter deck without hounds, I think it's just too weak.
Okay, Tron, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the way that it affects the hunter matchups is actually being seen in the metagame right now. Shamans and paladins got hated out basically because Unleash the Hounds was too strong, and now that Unleash the Hounds is reined in a bit, and hunters are less popular, Shaman and Paladin is more popular. And that's why I had the prediction earlier that you could see that 3-mana Unleash the Hounds come back, because it's still really good if there are a lot of Shamans, Paladins, things that put out a lot of minions on the board.
Okay. I guess the rest of the deck probably being pretty similar. I mean, Trump, like the Hunter decks that we've seen, or do you think, like, can you see any kind of maybe mods that would make it a little bit better, given that Unleashed Hounds would be, you know, added mana? I'd probably have to play a little bit later.
What was the first part?
You see the same type of Hunter, though? Like, just basically the mid-range Hunters that we've seen, or do you think there'll be some changes even to that type of Hunter?
I keep an eye on the Hearthstone Ret in particular. Mm-hmm. Like, a few days ago, I saw some post about I took a Hunter deck without Unleash the Hounds to Legend. So,
yeah,
certainly possible. And I think it makes sense because Unleash the Hounds at some points is really bad against the metagame, such as against Miracle Rogue. And Gaara provided a really good example of how to take advantage of the metagame, bring a deck, take out one of the cards that theoretically should never be taken out and Unleash the Hounds and get a favorable win rate against that deck. And if that deck is a lot of the decks currently in circulation, you're going to do well. What was the question?
I was just thinking, like, you were talking about the return of the Hunter. Is it just going to be the same Hunters that we've seen? Like the same?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, because the old Hunter is still really good against decks with a lot of guys out.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. We'll take a few more. Silent Death 113 asks, with the way Blizzard is releasing the Nox expansion, do you think that some classes will be at a significant advantage over the others because they get their new class cards first? And do you think they should have done it better? Or do you think they should do it better? Since it hasn't happened yet. Who wants this one? Trump, you want this one?
I'll let Gaara go first.
Okay, Gaara. What do you think?
I mean, that's just wrong. Like, no matter how you look at it, that's just wrong. Like, that's, some classes get their OP cards, like, in quotes, first, before other cards, before other classes. I mean, there will be, like, many riots.
What? I mean, there's not that much time period between the releases, so...
How much is in between? Like, how many days is it, or...?
It's a week between each release.
Yeah, it's a week between each release, so, I mean, it's like...
Okay, so there will be, like, pretty much every week a different meta, but it was like this already before, so...
Well, there's no doubt that people are going to gravitate towards the new content, right? So whatever that first release dungeon is... And whatever cards come from that, everybody's going to be playing that class just to try out the new cards, I'm sure. But Trump,
yeah. 1 week is not that long.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm really shocked at your answer, guys. So you okay. don't like the way that certain classes are going to get a boost in power?
Oh, I didn't say I didn't like it. I just think that I was just stating the facts that a lot of people are going to play those new cards or those classes. So there'll be a ton of people playing, say, the rogue class, if that's the first one. But
I thought that some classes get their cards first before other classes.
Yeah. Trump, so you feel differently on that?
I mean, you don't know what order they're going to get the cards in.
Yeah, you don't know, but I don't. Do you think they're going to release all the classes? I mean, I don't think there's going to be enough cards in the first release that's going to cover all the classes, though.
Right. I mean, 9 classes, 4 wings. There's probably going to be 2 class cards per wing, I figure.
Yeah.
So, like, for a week, that those 2 classes are going to get 1 extra card for, like, a week, and then for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, etc. It's going to be a minimal difference, I figure.
Yeah.
I would also like to mention that it's called Nax.
Oh, Nax. Did I say Nox? Oh, I said Nox. Yes, Nax. Okay, thanks. Thanks. Pronunciations. Okay, so, yeah, I don't think it'll be, given that it's only a week apart, I mean, it's going to be 1 month, and at the end of the month, I think all the classes, you know, all the decks will be there. But there will be, like, I think this huge migration towards those classes every time. Really make them more powerful than the others, but we'll see.
I wonder if tournaments adjust, like if those, like in
that's a good
MOBA games, like when there are new heroes released, they're not allowed in tournament plays for at least 2 months. So I wonder how they will handle that.
Yeah, I think DreamHack is going to be around that time. So this is going to be an interesting period if it's literally in the middle of one of the, just in the middle of the entire expansion release. So that's going to be pretty good. Because it's normally, I think, end of June or is it early July? I can't remember exactly the date of DreamHack right now.
June. Mid-June.
It's end of June. Okay, so that'll be interesting. It'll be crazy if it's the first week. If it's the first week of the release and they have DreamHack, that's going to be wild. Crazy wild.
Okay. Yeah, and even just a few cards, like just 1 or 2 cards would affect this tournament and the entire tournament, like, dramatically.
Yeah, definitely agree. Okay, let's take one more question here. And okay, it's a question about Doomsayer. What do you think about Doomsayer in the metagame? It's a great stalling card and it has a great utility, especially turn 2 against Zoo to almost completely break the tempo. It can also be used late game to create a setup turn to drop the big legendaries. Thoughts? I've tried this in Control Paladin with some good results, floating around rank 3 right now. Gar, have you ever tried Doomsayer? Or have you tried Doomsayer recently?
Of course. The thing what I don't like about Doomsayer is like, with which other card could I compare it? That is like equally bad. I can't think of any. Like, the thing is, you need to have it. You know, you need to have this card in your opening hand. Yeah, like, you can compare it with the current Pagel. Like, Pagel is still good, but no deck plays it because it's really terrible late game, like, when you top deck a Pagel right now. Like, it's still an awesome card when you coin it out, but it's not playable. And the reason why you don't see so much Doomsayer in play is because it's really good when you have it in your starting hand, but it's a terrible top deck card. Like, you have to kind of build your deck around it. You can't just randomly play a Doomsayer in any deck. Like, you need it in a stalling deck, and if you don't draw it, it's, yeah, cool story.
Trump?
Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
It has its purposes, and I it's bad against Miracle, but since Miracle isn't as popular right now, it's good in the right deck.
What's the right deck? I mean, the only deck I can think of right now is, I mean, the Freeze Mage, obviously, was one, because it has a mechanism to freeze the whole board.
The reason why it's good in Mage, because it's always good whenever you draw it.
Yes, because you have a card that can always freeze the board, too. The Silence is a killer, and I think a lot of classes run Silence right now. So that's one of the reasons why it's not, I think it's not super popular now. But any other classes have a mechanism to combo with Doomsayer and it'd be really good outside of like your turn two kind of play and that sort of thing? Is there anything else? You guys think of anything? Yeah, I can't think of anything either. So I guess that could sum up one of the reasons why it's not good in the metagame right now, just because it might not be good in any metagame, given that there's just not very many good things to combo with it. Seven's nice. I mean, it does absorb 7 damage, though, so it can always still function that way. But overall, yeah, I think the whole removing the board type of thing doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when you really count on it to remove the board and then it gets silenced, you pretty much lose the game.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It looks like he tried it in Control Pally. I remember trying a long time ago in Control Pally. And again, it's like Gar said, like late game, it's pretty worthless. The card's pretty worthless late game. So, okay. Well, anyways, that's going to be it for Q&A, guys. And it's going to be it for the show. We're going to wrap the show. It's great having you on, Gara. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had a lot of fun.
Okay, awesome. You want to do some shout-outs, thank yous?
Of course, shout-outs to all the people who are watching my stream and following. And I want to give a shout-out to you guys and Trump. Like, it's the first time that I'm actually talking to him. It's,
really? Okay.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
Trump, want to do some shout-outs?
Yeah, I'd like to shout-out Gar, being a nice guy.
the love.
Wow, all these guys watching right now, you guys must be the most awesome audience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So pat yourself on the back, shout-out to you.
That's right. Oh, I forgot there's one thing I wanted to talk about, I forgot to.
And shout out to what Chanman's about to talk about.
I wanted to mention the Tavern Takeover. I totally forgot about that last weekend that Trump was actually in, you know, taking part of. They did such a great job. What did you guys think of just the whole broadcast production, the whole thing? Trump, I'll ask you since you were in it. No, you didn't want me to ask you first? Okay, I can ask Gara first if you want. Gara, what did you think of the whole thing?
Well, I think it's an awesome thing because it has awesome people in it, and it's just awesome. Like, I don't know,
the viewership was sick. I mean, I don't have we ever gotten more than I think it maxed at a 48k, so like the max concurrent was at 48,000 at one point. I don't think we've ever seen a Hearthstone tournament outside of BlizzCon that high, so that's pretty awesome.
One bad thing about it is I wasn't in it.
So
it can't be that great, right?
Oh, man. Well, I better not talk about my event then. Same thing. But no. Trump, any comments on it? Anything?
It was a well-run tournament.
Okay,
and
see.
I'm glad they managed to pull it off without a hitch. They really did well in bringing in the viewership.
Okay, here's the thing. The whole live thing was stupid drama, stupid stuff. I mean, we have like a million like events that are not live, so the whole thing was just kind of dumb, the whole drama that went around that. So I sorry if I brought it up and I made you uncomfortable because of that, but overall I thought it was really, really cool, and hopefully PvP Live. It sounds like they're going to do it like twice a month, which is kind of crazy in that studio. So be curious to see how more of them go. And Gara, hopefully, you know, you and Trump will be participating in the next one. That'd be really cool to see.
What I like the most is Trump came really far. Like, how far was it in the end? Like top 3 or something? And he played Gara Ramp, like best deck ever.
That's right. Man, Garim, strong, man. Definitely strong.
Like, how did you like the deck, Trump? Do you think it's a good deck for tournaments?
Yeah, it's a good deck, and it's very solid. It's better in a meta where everyone's not running Black Knight.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess Lastly for me is I did want to, I guess, promote my event that I'm doing this Saturday. It's going to be the Deck Wars Season 1 Finals. And what we're doing is we're putting the 12 winners of all the Deck Wars show matches that we've done up to date and going to have them battle it out. So let me just show you guys, I guess, the little marketing asset we put together here. So it's going to be Amaz, Tides, Savitz, Kalento, Strife, Crow, Kungan, Admirable, Ecop, Chalky, Monk, Forsen, and Alchemist. And they're going to be battling out for $1,000, $500 for second place. And all the matches are going to be live. And we'll be casting them live, and they'll be played live and everything. So Saturday and Sunday, we'll have the first round, just the first six matches, head-to-head, the first day on Saturday. And then the second day will be kind of this mini three-man group stage into the grand finals, just the winners of the groups will go to the grand finals. So definitely check it out, guys. Me and Kayuki will be casting it. It's going to be, you know, it's me and Machinima kind of partnering up for it. So it'll be on twitch.tv/Machinima. And should be a good tournament. I mean, lots of great players there from EU and from NA. So really, really excited. Yeah, so check it out. It's going to start at 1 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. And actually, both days will be 1 p.m. Eastern. Really, really excited. Been trying to organize this thing for weeks now. That's one of the reasons why we didn't have a Deck Wars this last week, is because just been wanting to get this down, the production, just the fact that it's live. Wanted it to be clean and not just your standard, just watching somebody's stream and that sort of bit. So, yeah, check it out. Trump, what you laughing at?
Oh, man, live. That's going to be really hard to pull off. I wish you the best of luck. I'm sure you need a lot of practice.
We've been
that.
Practicing every single night the last two nights, and then we're going to practice the next two nights too, leading into Saturday. But it's been going really well, so really, really excited about it. And again, we're doing a different setup. I don't think anybody else in the community has done this particular setup, even though there are some other events like the King of the Hill that have done live type of things. But the setup that we're doing is a little bit different, and hopefully it'll be cleaner and really enjoyable for you guys. So wish me luck. and come and tune in and have a good time just with some of these awesome matches.
Best of luck. Be sure to tune in. It will be live.
That's
right.
You put
it here first.
That's right. And I can confirm that Trump has said it. No crazy miscommunications that happened on that whole bit. But okay, guys, that's going to be it for Value Town. So for Trump, Gara, and Champion V, we'll see you next time. Later.